welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us. It's Ariel and
me, Raylene.
Ooh, it's Sunday night with the pals.
It is.
How are you doing over there, Raylene? How's life going?
It's going. Very large development in my life happened over the weekend. I bought a microwave. Which doesn't sound like a big deal, but I've been living without a microwave for about 4 months now.
Yikes.
And I thought I could do it, you know? Like, we moved out and we just had to spend so much money on so many things. And I was like, microwave? We can live without that for a little while. But it has started to get difficult. And so we finally caved and bought a microwave and I've made popcorn twice. That's all I've used it for. But it was like, this is what my life was missing. Yep. And I'm happy that it has.
I love it.
That now.
I mean, there's a reason that it's a modern convenience. It's very convenient.
It's so quick. An oven just isn't the same.
No. I mean, obviously, in some ways, I'm sure some things tasted better in the oven, but like, because like it slow heats and stuff, but like also there's so many ways in which an oven is just slow, inefficient, really hot.
Like, I don't want to wait 40 minutes for my food because I have to wait for the oven to heat up and then I have to wait for my food to heat up slowly. I want to eat now. Microwave takes less than 2 minutes.
I know, so, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's kind of the excitement of my life.
Where did you get your microwave?
I got it from Costco. So.
Hey, that's cool.
It's always a good option. And it's kind of like massive. It was funny when we bought it. I was like, where are we gonna put this thing? And we just put it on the counter and it took up the entire counter. Like for our tiny little apartment has the tiniest little counters. So we got this like kind of cart thing that we can put it on the top of, and it's got shelves below as well, so we can put other things on it, which is very useful. Wow. This is a really exciting podcast.
We're just talking about Raylene's microwave.
My life is so lame. Although I've been playing a lot of Stardew lately, so that has been fun.
Hey, you see, video games and microwaves.
I have started 2 new farms in the past like week and a half. So that shows how my life is going.
That's actually good drama. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. Doing the beginning twice in the same week was like, what am I doing to myself? Yeah. But it's just the way that things worked out. Both farms are going to be great, but they're going to be different.
So I had a fun development this weekend.
Yes.
I did a bookbinding course and it was a game changer. It was a game changer.
You're a bookbinder now.
I am a bookbinder.
And a woodworker.
A woodworker. I have many hats, but right now I'm so proud of my little bookbinding hat. So this was a... I'm trying to do stuff in the world.
Like,
and you know what? It's a little bit hard. I think a lot of people will completely understand and agree with this. And it's kind of two-parted. First of all, it's hard to do new things when you're an adult. Like, it's super funny because people are, you would think it's the opposite. You would think, like, you're free. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But what actually happens is you're so tired that you're, like, really not motivated to do new things. And you have to go so out of your way to try and make something happen, to find a course, register, make sure it works in your schedule, like,
be able
to make the time to get there. Like, it's tricky. Whereas when you're a teenager or a kid doing all of these classes, like, don't take that for granted. If you're in high school and your parents are willing to drive you places and sign you up and especially pay for all of this stuff, you know what I mean? Like, I did that pottery course a couple months ago. I've just done this bookbinding course. They're expensive. Like, I think they're totally worth it. The people deserve to get paid for their expertise and for running the workshop, but it is expensive. So anyway, there's just like all these obstacles. But then on top of that is the other element of the pandemic has obviously made it really tricky for anyone to do anything. But yeah, there was this really funny moment at the beginning of the little bookbinding session because we had to like show our proof of vaccination and our ID that shows that the proof of vaccination is real to the lady running the workshop. But she, like, she looked at them in earnest, like, made, she definitely double, triple checked that everything was good and she made us like sign a paper and everything. But she's like, do you guys want to see mine? It was like we were trading Pokemon cards. Yeah. You know, she was like, "Do you want it?" And we were like, "Don't worry, we believe you.
It's fine
that you have it." The fact that you would even say, "Do you want to see mine?" We were like, "It's okay." Also, we know they wouldn't have hired you to run this course. But anyways, it was so much fun. It was over 2 days. And it was actually, like, now that I think about it, pretty intensive. Like, it was 10 to 4.
Wow.
I know. That's 10 to 4 both days, but with an hour lunch in between. And it was the best. It was the best. Like I talked a little bit about on the podcast before, but, like, I did that pottery course. And I enjoyed it, but I really didn't love it. I liked learning the skill, and I do feel like I now better understand how that works, and if I needed to make a really, really bad bowl, I could. But I could make
a bowl. That power.
I know how to make a bowl. It won't be good, but I get it. But this just clicked in my brain. Like, mm-hmm. I was having so much fun. Like, today we did this little, and it's not origami in any way, but it was sort of like a folding thing for one of the books. Yeah. And she's like, all right, first take this scrap piece of paper and we're just follow me as I do it. She's like, so step one, do this. Step two, this.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, cool. And then she handed out another piece of paper. She's like, all right, now you guys try and do it on your own without any instruction. And I just instantly did it. Like, really, it was like a Roman or a Greek god. That's a segue to what we're going to talk about soon. But, like, a Greek god had just, like, gone inside and I took over and I finished it in, like, 3 seconds. And I just looked at it and I was just staring at it like, how did I do that? And the lady looked over and she was like, how'd you do that? And I was like, I don't know.
You're a savant.
Finally, I found my calling. It's making books, of course. Well, it had to be, didn't
it? That's not surprising at all.
No, literally not even a little bit. But anyways, it was really fun to, like, learn a new skill. It sort of took some skills that I already know, like a little bit of sewing, a little bit of, I was going to say cutting. I guess that's not a skill, like cutting paper, but, like, the other thing, okay.
Scissor using.
You know, really, this was really interesting because we were working on one book that where we were, like, attaching cloth to a piece of cardboard to create a hardcover, right?
Right.
And she was like, okay, so a lot of the skills we're going to be using in this one. By the way, guys, we made 8 different books. I don't even know how we made so many.
It's insane.
But, like, they're all really different and interesting. But she was like, so for this book, what you're going to find is that if you really like wrapping presents, you're going to enjoy this because it has a lot of the same mechanics. And I just, like, lit up. I was like, I love wrapping presents.
I love amazing.
Like the satisfying feeling of the corners working perfectly and like the tape lining up beautifully, like all of that sort of stuff. So anyway, guys, I had a great time. I will definitely post some photos to the Instagram of some of the books I made so that you can see the different little journals and things. It was super fun.
And I have a question for you, I guess.
Please.
Is this something that you can see yourself continuing to do at home? Or, like, do you need specialized equipment that you don't have? Like, what's the situation there?
I love that question because it was something I also didn't know about. I was like, is this going to be just, like, the kind of thing that is really fun to do, but you have to, like, take a course to do it or else, like, invest heavily in expensive equipment? And she really emphasized how everything we were doing, you could do at home. And she would, for every single item we used, she was like, we're using this tool, but you could use this, which is like a one you could get at the dollar store, or you could use this. And I was like, I can totally see how you could really do a very, very low budget. Like, I think you could start with less than $20 worth of tools. And you really just need, like, something to poke holes and some thread, a needle, and then paper. So I loved it, and I really hope that I keep doing it, and I can really envisage myself, A, taking more courses, because there's literally so many different ways to bind a book. Before we recorded, I was showing Raylene, I was like, this one's an accordion, this one folds out, this one has all of these pages, or whatever. Like, there's a million different ways to make books, and so, like, there's a lot of different courses you can take, and her name is Rhonda Miller. She's here in Halifax. I forget the exact name of her handle, but I'll link her in the show notes if anyone is in Halifax or Nova Scotia and wants to check her out. But also, she has an Etsy and stuff. So she makes such beautiful things. And she also is like, I also sometimes teach a course on Japanese bookmaking. And I was like, ooh, please let me do that. Like, that sounds so good.
Yeah.
I loved it. Okay, the final thing I'll say before I shut the frick up about bookbinding. Imagine I just, like, we're a year later and I'm just, like, a professional bookbinder. That's, like,
this, I could totally see that.
This happen. Is the origin story. But, yeah, one final thing is that in Toronto, okay, so I grew up mainly, I sort of grew up in Southern Ontario, and I would go into Toronto a lot, and there was this bookshop on Queen Street West called Type Books. It's probably the best bookshop in Toronto. Right next to it, it's like a sister store.
Mm.
It's a Japanese paper place. And every time I go to this bookshop, I'm, like, also equally as excited to go to the paper store next door.
Totally.
I've never understood what the paper is for. I've never understood. Like, I've been going there since I was 7. It's been 20 years, and I just love looking at it, but I've never understood. I was like, it can't possibly be for scrapbooking. Because I was like, it's too expensive. It's too expensive. Yeah. It's too fancy. I was like, what are people using this for? Now I know. And I'm like, wait a minute. Could I have a hobby that means I can buy that paper I've been staring at for 20 years?
Because, oh, like, that's beautiful.
This lady had so much Japanese paper, and she had a lot of scraps. Obviously, like, she'll use a big piece, and then, you know, you've got little slivers that get cut off and stuff. So she had a scrap box. So we were able to incorporate those in a lot of different ways, and looking through it was such a joy. Ugh. Obviously, you know, I'm like a little bit like, oh, God, we're talking about microwaves and bookbinding? But bookbinding, it's book people, it's a book podcast, so I don't know.
Yours at least makes sense.
I don't feel too bad. Microwaves are relatable, really. Everyone's got a microwave.
Thanks. Yeah. We're all people here. We all use microwaves, right?
Oh, man. All right. I guess we should jump into talking about our reading. Have you been reading? Let's start with, have you finished anything? I'll rip off this Band-Aid. I didn't. Yeah. We know
okay.
I didn't. Okay. I was busy making books.
That's true.
That's my excuse.
Yeah, so I think I mentioned last week that I was reading Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe.
Yes.
So since then, I finished that book and I read the sequel.
Okay. This is huge because
it is huge.
People listening might have also been invested in this series, but, like, me and Raylene read it at the same time when we were
in, like, 2012 or whatever.
Yeah, when it I think came we out. Were 18. So it's been a decade.
Yeah,
since we've been waiting for the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
And the thing is, with rereading the first book as well, I still really liked it, but it wasn't, like, the dazzling, amazing, like, best YA book I've ever read, like, it was when I first read it.
Okay,
like, rereading it as an adult, I was like, okay, this is still really good, but it wasn't, like, Perks Being a Wallflower. Like, it didn't, for me, quite stand up on that same pedestal, which is fine. Like, nothing against the book at all. But,
yeah.
And so I guess something that I noticed about both these books that I really liked and that I feel like we don't see a lot in YA is that the main characters are really close with their families, which I really liked because Aristotle and Dante are both kind of loners. They're only really friends with each other.
Yeah.
So rather than the book just being about literally just the two of them, it's about them and then both of their parents, like both of their sets of parents, and they interact with them a lot. And it was just like, I love that so much because that's a huge thing in YA is that parents are absent or, like, are barely
it's
there.
It's such a huge trope. Yeah.
Yeah. But in this duology, they're, like, best friends with their parents. And I love that so much because I know that that is real and possible. Like, you with your family. It made me think of these, like, these books reminded me of you and your family. It was, like, it was so cute. And I just loved that. So I really enjoyed that aspect. However, these books also kind of have that thing going on that John Green's books get complaints for a lot, which is that teenagers don't talk like this. Like, the way that they interact with each other, it's like, this is absurd. And, like, they just, like, kind of repeat the same kind of, like, weird little sentences to each other all the time where they're like, oh, yeah, like, we're building a map and you are on my map.
Yes!
We're a continent. And, like, they just say weird stuff like that. And it's like, oh, this is so cringe.
Okay,
but if you set that aside and, like, pretend that that's not happening, it was a great book. Like, it was really good. And the sequel, which is called Aristotle and Dante Dive into the Waters of the World, once again, very large, wordy title.
Yeah.
But it was great. It was beautiful. And I felt like it was a really good sequel, and like it wasn't unnecessary at all. Like the first book was a standalone for many years, and okay. we just assumed it would be a standalone. But knowing that there was a sequel when I was reading the first one this time, mm. was like, oh my god, I'm glad there's a sequel, because it kind of comes to an end very abruptly and okay, kind of very yeah. dramatically, and you're like, there's more to be said here.
Right.
And so I was really glad to read a second book, and the second book was 500 pages long, but I read it in like a day and a half, because it was very gripping, very interesting, and it had a lot more kind of real life drama. I guess drama might be the wrong word, but sure. kind of like there's stuff happening in these people's lives. It's not just like a happy fairy tale, like walking through life on a cloud type of situation.
Right.
So that was really nice to read as well. Because the first one I feel like is kind of, I mean, I guess it's still very real life, real down to earth. Like bad things happen in that book too. But this one, it definitely brought a tear to my eye, oh. I will say. The tear didn't fall, but it was there. So be prepared for that if you're planning on reading the sequel. But it was really good. So that's all I've read recently.
I did want to ask, like, did you think the length was right? Like, it seems so long. Like, it's a huge, thick book. Did it feel like, yeah, it should have been that long, or?
I mean, I guess. Okay. Like, it could have been shorter, but I also wasn't mad that it was long.
Right.
Because something else about these books, there's, like, a lot of space on every page. Like, there's some pages that have, like, a paragraph. So it's not so much that it's really a long book. It's yes. just, like, the formatting of the book that yeah. makes it long, I guess. Mm. And just the way it's written. There's lots of, like, long kind of pages that have almost, like, verse on them. So there's just... It's not as long as it seems, which is why I was able to read it quite quickly. So
okay, yeah.
I feel like that was fine. Like, both of these books aren't very plot heavy. It's very much about the characters. So it's not like there's a lot going on. So when you see how long it is kind of like, what? But it moved along at a quick pace, and I feel like it worked out fine. Yeah,
I didn't feel
unnecessarily long.
I think you might have mentioned this and I missed it, but sorry. How far later does this book take place from the first one?
It seems like it's pretty immediate. Okay. It takes place like, yeah, because in the first book, there's a character that becomes pregnant, and then she's still pregnant in the next book. Like,
I see. You know what I mean? That's a good way to put it. Yeah,
It's within that time frame. Like, not that much time skips. So
okay,
yeah.
Well, that's really cool. You know what? I love that. I love that whole story that you just told, because
thank you.
It's been in my eyes almost like a 10-year saga of. Mm-hmm. Like, you just finished a duology that, like you said, we didn't know was going to be a duology originally, but that's really yeah. neat. Wow.
Yeah, and also, the way that the book ended, I'm like, is he going to write a third book? Like, it could end here, but it also might not. Oh. So, that's something else to put out into the universe.
So, what are you currently reading?
I'm currently reading possibly two of the most random books.
Okay, I love that. I'm excited.
Once again, I feel like I've been doing this a lot recently.
Yeah.
So first of all, I started a new audiobook recently, and it was one that I've been really curious about this book for a while, but wasn't really sure, you know, am I going to read it soon, whatever. But then it happened to come in from the library on audio, so I decided to just jump in and give it a go. It is called Bad Blood, Secrets and Lies in a Silicon Valley Startup by John Carreyrou.
Totally. That's funny because I just watched the trailer for the movie about her.
Oh, cool.
Did you see that? Amanda Seyfried.
I didn't even know this was happening. Hang on. This is perfect timing. I'm so glad that I am reading this book and talking about it.
Yeah.
Now. Oh, that's so cool. I'll have to look that
up. You should watch the trailer because it's very interesting.
What's the movie called?
Oh, God.
We have to
The Dropout? I think it might be. Yes, I think it's called The Dropout. Do you see it? Do you see it on your screen?
I didn't look it up. No.
Oh, I thought you went to type in. And I was like, oh,
I was going to, but then I didn't.
Yeah, I think it's called The Dropout. And I watched the trailer. And obviously, like, it has been in the news, right? Like, kind of in the background. Like, you've watched this over the last few years. And then I just saw this trailer and I was like, Amanda Seyfried, I haven't seen her in a while. I think we've talked before on the podcast how I'm really obsessed with trailers, and in an alternate universe, I would edit trailers for a living. I think that'd be a great job. Have I told you that before?
I don't think so.
Oh, there you go. I'm subscribed to a lot of channel trailers on YouTube because I absolutely love watching trailers. So I will watch a trailer for anything. But this one came up and I was like, yeah, Amanda Seyfried, and I watch it. And It's exciting. It's like a very stressful, especially knowing it's real. So how's the book?
Exactly. The book is incredible. Like, it's because, like I said, I'm listening to the audiobook, which I really enjoy listening to, like, true crime, investigative journalism type things on audio. Because it's just like, a podcast. Like I've said before, it's like a cool podcast. Yeah. It's like I'm learning about something and in such a nice, easy kind of way. And it is phenomenal. Mm. It's really well written and it like incorporates kind of bits of like, you know, talking to lots of different people, and like the journalist who wrote the book, he was the one who was like the leading kind of journalist writing the story, like following the story as it was unfolding, I think, as well. And so he's like, you can tell that he's like deep into the story and knows a lot. Yeah. And he's like, you could just tell that he like really was fascinated by the story. And for those who don't know, this book is about Elizabeth Holmes, who is a woman who, when she was 19, I think it was, she started a startup for this company that was like a biotech company. And basically, I don't know like all of what is going to go down later in the book. So I don't really know anything about the story, which is what makes it so exciting too. Is right. I don't really know what's going to go down, but I know that there's some kind of criminal aspect. And like, there's already been hints that they were like lying about results to try and get investors to come on board and stuff. And it's like, this is so stressful, but it's so like engaging and interesting to read about or to listen to. So
I'm not going to tell you what happens, because
don't tell me anything. I'm only like 18% of the way into the audiobook so far. Like, I've just started it, but it's already so good. And I already know I'm going to love it.
Don't
so.
Watch the trailer actually then. If you don't really know what happens, don't watch it. Cause the trailer obviously shows her life a bit and kind of what's going on with her, and don't look her up on Wikipedia, because that will give away so
I know that she does something bad and something's gonna go downhill, but I don't know exactly what it is. So I'm reading that very dramatic true crime nonfiction book. However, I also just started this today, so I've barely read any, but I was trying to figure out what I felt like reading, and I just couldn't decide. I'm having one of those moods where I have no idea what I'm in the mood for, and so I decided it was time for a graphic novel. It's always the solution, right?
Yeah, it is.
So I decided to start The Girl from the Sea by Molly Knox Ostertag.
Cute, which you bought here, right?
I did. I bought that when we were in Lunenburg, actually, which you've mentioned before. One of the bookstores that we went to together.
Hell yeah.
And so far, so good, yay! So beautiful, so cute. Like, I'm pretty much maybe 30 pages in tops, but this is so cute so far already. The main character is this girl named Morgan, and basically she lives on this tiny island, and she wants to kind of get out, you know? She wants to move to the city and, like, live a more exciting life or whatever. But one day she goes down to sit on some rocks by the water because she just, like, is having a mood or whatever and wants to be by herself. But it's slippery and she falls into the water.
No.
But she's saved by this girl who is actually a Selkie. She lives in the water. So she's, like, she's like a seal, which is really cool. So she saves her. And then the main character, Morgan, is like, this isn't real, so I may as well just lean into the whole, like, fantasy of the situation. Mm. She's like, let's make it romantic. And then she kisses the Selkie. And then the next day, the Selkie shows up, and she has legs. And she's like, hey, what's up? You're my true love now, and I'm going to, like, follow you around.
Oh, no!
And so it's very funny, because the Selkie is like, she looks like a person. And so she's interacting with people, and they all think she's just some random girl. But she's kind of weird, and all of her stories have to do with fish. And, like, it's quite funny. But it's very cute so far, and the art is gorgeous. So I'm not super far into it, but I am really enjoying it. And it's, like, the perfect offset to the dramatic other book that I'm reading.
Do we know if that's a standalone?
I think so.
Yeah. Because the author also did Witch Boy, right? Which turned out not to be a standalone, I think.
Yeah, as far as I know, this is definitely a standalone.
Cool. Oh, well, I'm really glad you're reading that. It's
great.
It's about time. It shouldn't be as exciting as it is, but it's exciting when we actually read the books we've bought.
I know. It's shocking. And actually, now that you mention that, it's funny. All of the books I've read so far this year have been books that I own, except for now Bad Blood. That's the first book that I've read that I'm reading this year that is not a TBR book, which feels kind of scandalous.
Ooh.
I'm like, ooh, I'm reading a book I don't own. But at least I'm loving it, so I don't regret it at all. I don't feel bad.
It's from the library, right? So you didn't like, have to buy it either. So that's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm still currently reading Ballad for Sophie. I'm loving it. But, like, the truth is that I just haven't really sat down to read this week. I've only, like, sat down two other times. One was on our live show for our patrons. And I read some then I had a moment where I sat down. I was able to read for another like 10, I know, maybe like 15, 20 minutes. And I was just like, oh, it's so good. But I think I just need to sit down maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. We're recording this on the 13th. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day and my boyfriend took the day off and I'm just sort of going to try and take it easy. And yeah. We're just going to try and chill out. He booked a restaurant or something, but I don't know where or what. And I think it might be fancy. So thankfully I brought my really giant red gingham dress and I'm going to wear a pink turtleneck under it. Just look like a human Valentine.
Amazing. I love that for you.
But yes, I think hopefully tomorrow I can just sit down and read the rest of it. And I really like this. I'll challenge myself. Oh my god, I'll do a TBR challenge. It's been so long. TBR challenge is to finish that graphic novel by next week so that I can finally report on my claim. Yeah, is it the greatest graphic novel I've ever read? I'm not sure, but we'll find out.
I'm really, really curious about that.
Yeah, I'm really curious too. Because so far it's literally perfect and I'm like, It's all going to be in the third act, right? Like, does it like rise to the climax and like it's like really epic, or does it fall apart?
That's definitely possible. See. I've seen that happen.
Seen it happen. Okay, so that's what you've read. What we're currently reading. You don't have any books to haul, right?
I do actually. Oh. I've already told you about them. Oh right, but I haven't told some the in the people. Mail.
Yes, yes, yes. That you ordered a while ago.
Exactly, because my new goal for the next little while is not to buy any new books if I can help it. Like, I'm okay with thrifting and, like, you know, getting cheap books every now and then if I find them, but I've been trying not to go out of my way to buy brand new books if I don't have to, because I have obviously so many books that I need to read already. But these ones I bought in December, so I've just been waiting for them. And it's kind of a nice surprise because I am on this kind of, like, semi-book buying ban. But anyway, so these showed up, and I'm so excited about these. So one of them I've already read, but I didn't own because the cover in Canada is terrible. And that is The Woman in the Purple Skirt by Natsuko Imamura. This one you bought when you were
in England.
You were overseas, right? Yeah. So I remember you bought it and it made me jealous. So I think I bought it right around that time or like shortly after. I was like, I think I need to buy that one. So I got this nice like UK cover because it's just more like spooky and subtle and not weird looking. Yeah. So I really enjoy that. I just wanted to own that for my collection. But the next book I bought is one that it has popped up a bit on the podcast. We've talked about it a bit and I've been kind of waffling over whether or not to buy it. And I finally pulled the trigger and I'm so happy to have this. Night Bitch by Rachel Yoder. And gosh, this cover is cool, but it's like also very creepy.
I think it's interesting that you went with that cover versus the red meat cover.
I didn't love the meat cover. Like, I did like it. Conceptually, it's kind of like cool and like that, but I didn't want to buy a hardcover. That was the thing that really stopped me.
Totally.
And I think this one is like, it's just more creepy looking, which I like.
Both
that one
of
is,
them. I think they're both weird. Yeah, they're both fine. I don't think there's a better or worse one, in my opinion. I like both of them for different reasons. That one kind of reminds me of, oh, what book is it that it's reminding me of? It's like in my head. Oh, Indelicacy? No, because my cover of Indelicacy, regardless, it reminds me of some other covers that I really like. Yeah. But like the slab of meat, there's just something. Also, it's like such a red book. It's like, it's so red. I like the intensity of the red.
Mm-hmm.
As a bookbinder myself, I really respect colors like that.
Yeah, exactly. I love it's white with the neon pink, this one that I got, and it's very cool.
And I love I love this trend of having like a Renaissance type painting on a cover. Mm-hmm. I love that. So you can't go wrong.
It's very slick. So yeah, I just feel really good to finally have this book because I've been really wanting to read it. And I knew that it was a book that I wanted to own. For some reason, there's certain books that I'm okay with like just getting from the library. But this one I really just wanted to have.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I guess it could be partly because it's just like a really strange book that I know I'll have to be in the right mood for. And sometimes library holds don't come in at the right time. And that can always be troublesome.
Right.
So now that I own it, I can read it whenever the mood strikes for me to read this very, very strange book. So that's it, though.
So you did have some haul. You did haul. Wow. Mm-hmm. Look at us go.
I have a question for you. I'm sure the people are wondering. I'm wondering. I've been left in suspense for, I think, 2 weeks now.
Oh, no.
Do you know what my punishment will be for betraying you? That's a big question.
I do know, but I am not at liberty at this moment to divulge the details of the situation because... Well, because it takes me a long time to read. We all know that. So
I had a feeling. I was like, she's reading something or so listening to an audiobook or reading something. It's that a secret.
I will reveal eventually and you'll be shocked and appalled.
I cannot wait.
I'm glad you checked in though. It adds to the suspense.
Wouldn't it be funny if you told me what it was and I was like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, that would be.
How would that make you feel?
Sad.
I'm sure that won't happen. I'm sure you picked something that'll really cut deep.
It's really weird because I was literally saying to my boyfriend, I was like, maybe I shouldn't do this. I was like, I'm like trying to plan a revenge on my best friend. Like, what am I doing? He's like, yeah, you don't have to do that. And I was like, nah, we got to do it for the podcast. I was like, we need content.
The people want to hear it. They do.
I'm glad you checked in, though. Don't forget that you it's coming.
Yeah, because I thought I was gonna get instant retaliation. Like I thought you were gonna tell me to do something, and then I was just gonna have to do it.
This is like Count of Monte Cristo. All right,
exactly.
I'm laying an elaborate slow burn revenge plan. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god, you're like, I can't even imagine what you're doing. You're reading my favorite series, or like a series that I've been meaning to read for 8 years, and it's a fantasy series, so it's really like hard for you. And this is the scenario that I have playing out in my head. Like this is going to be ultimate betrayal.
I think that's so funny. Well, speaking of reading books together, did you like how I did that? Really, we're gonna segue into talking about our next book club.
Woo!
So on the podcast, we. A couple times a year. Last year, did we do it 4 times? 3?
I have no idea. I don't even know what happened last year.
Did we even do last year?
These years just blended by.
It's all merging together. But yeah, a couple times a year, we really like doing a book club with the community. Just because it's a fun way to for everyone to read a book together. And we then make a special episode where we go pretty, like, obviously it's like an hour and a half episode just for one book. So we go really in depth talking about all the different aspects of it. And the best part is that you guys can send in your own voice clips and then we play them on the podcast and we listen to them live. So we're like, don't know what you're going to say. We don't pre-plan. So it's a little bit like we're having a conversation with you guys. Yeah. So it's time to do our first one of the year. We're almost into March by the time this episode comes out. And can't believe that. That kind of freaks me out, actually. The more I say that, the more scared
I always
I am.
Find the first 2 months of the year always disappear in the blink of an eye. Yeah. I've always found that.
That's spooky. I think you're right, Raylene. But yeah, so we were like, okay, what we've always done in the past, and it's very much the same, but like what we always do is we pick 5-ish books. We put them on a poll. We put the poll here in the show notes of the episode, and then you guys have a week to go and vote, and then we'll read the winner and we'll give you the details. So we're gonna do the exact same thing, but with one little twist. We thought it would be fun to do a theme.
Yes.
So this was Raylene's idea, I think. A very good idea.
I got excited by it.
Yeah. But basically, you know, we've always just picked 5 books we're excited about. And we try and always have like a variety of like, let's definitely have a classic and maybe a graphic novel or whatever. Mm-hmm. But this time, Raylene was like, let's do a theme. And so we started brainstorming and Raylene thought of this great theme, Around the World. So do you want to tell people what the... I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory, but do you want to tell people the inspiration behind your theme?
Yeah, I guess the inspiration, like, it might be kind of obvious because we've talked about this quite a bit in our kind of goals episodes for the year and stuff, but we have made it a goal to read more broadly and like like read books by authors from other countries and like translated fiction and stuff like that. And so I wanted to lean into that and we wanted to try and find some books that are from authors that are not from America, I guess, is kind of what this boils down to. I know America is part of the world, so we could have included it, but we wanted to only pick 5 books, and it just didn't happen. So yes. We have chosen 5 books that we're going to talk about.
Well, let's hit it off, because I'm pretty excited about these books. The first one is picks. My Brilliant Friend by Elena Ferrante. So this is interesting because it's definitely the most popular book on our list here. It is. It is. We do like at least having one book that's a little bit mainstream, because it means it's very easy for people to find it, and a lot of people are already excited about reading it. Mm-hmm. Elena Ferrante is Italian, so that's cool. I don't remember the last time I read a book out of Italy.
Yeah, me neither.
That I think about it.
Oh my god!
But yeah, we both own this one. We're both excited to read it. It's about best friends, so we thought that would be a really cute pick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's our next one?
Our next one is There's No Such Thing as an Easy Job by Kikuko Tsumura, which is another book that we've talked about a little bit because we both purchased it over the last few months or so, and we're both very excited about it. And this book is by a Japanese author, so of course we had to have a Japanese author in there.
Oh, man. Okay. We're going to keep saying we're really excited about this. I guess we are.
We're obviously excited about all of them.
Medicine Walk by Richard Wagamese is an Indigenous Canadian author, and we've talked loads about how much we really loved Indian Horses. I think me especially, like I've mentioned, I've recommended that one a lot, but I really love that book, and it's a classic situation of like, oh, I keep meaning to read another book by that author, but I just haven't gotten to anything, and Raylene owns this one and a couple others by him as well, and so we thought it would be really cool to finally just get on another book here, and also really awesome to just always, you know, we know we're only going to read one of these 5 books, but it's cool to just talk about them and put them in front of people to consider. So
You know,
look it up, it's a cool book.
If you want a book that's about nature and Canada,
What's next?
Yeah, the next book is a book that you hauled recently called The Secret Talker by Geiling Yan, which is a book from China, which is super exciting because, like you said, when you hauled it, I don't know if I've ever read a book by a Chinese author.
I don't think I have China. Either. I mean, and that seems kind of crazy. Yeah, maybe someone who's immigrated here English or is... you know, has Chinese ancestry, but like an actual book that's translated from the Mandarin. I don't think we've ever read one. So
I don't think there's that many books like that kind of on display in bookstores here. You know what I mean?
Translated to English, like a little bit popular enough that we know about it. Like we're really excited. I think that's very interesting. And then the fifth book is Little Eyes by Samantha Schwebelin. So this was really cool because I literally typed into Google, I was like, translated books, I think 2020 or 2021, because I was like, I feel like there's something we're missing here. And Little Eyes came up and I was like, wait a minute, I've literally been meaning to read that. I often, I don't talk about this on the podcast, but you guys don't know how bad it is around my house. I often will pull down a book and I'm like, oh, this is the book I want to read today. And I bring it up to my bedroom and I put it next to my bedside table and it sits there for 3 days. And then I'm like, okay, I didn't read it. Next. And like that cycle happens so much. But that happened a week ago with that book. I was oh, Little Eyes. Cool. I want to read that. That's like sounds so, so good. It's a little bit about like social media. It sounds phenomenal and kind of scary and interesting, and it was recommended to me by a friend, so I'm like, oh, I think I'm gonna really like it.
And I read one of her other books not too long ago called Fever Dream. And I didn't make the connection when I bought that book. I just bought that book completely randomly because I was like, this just sounds cool, I'll pick it up. And I didn't realize until after I finished it that it was the same author who wrote Little Eyes, and I was like, oh, okay. And I know that my library has that, so I can easily get my hands on that guy.
And what we really didn't know was that the author is Argentinian and writes her books in Spanish. And they're translated to English. So that's awesome. we're like, wow, that's like literally perfect. So those are your 5 picks. You can click the link down in the description that will take you to a Patreon poll. You do not need to be a patron. Don't worry. It's just that Patreon has the best poll feature, because we don't really have a, like, we have a website, but we don't use it for polls or blog posts or anything. So it's very easy to count and tally everything up. So you do not need to be a patron, totally public. Just click the link. It'll take you to the poll. Anyone can vote. And we will get back to you next episode in a week. So you have one week to vote. Don't hesitate. If you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, I'm going to vote for on that later, don't wait, because you'll forget. Just do it and now.
There's no time.
So go vote. And yeah, we'll announce next week. Oh, I'm really excited. I'm going to vote. I always vote in our polls, but I won't tell you. I don't want to sway. I don't
like,
want to sway.
There's always one that, like, you secretly want to read more than the others.
Yeah. You can also vote for more than one.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool, because you're sort of like, oh, well, you know, there's three out of these that I'm most excited about. So you can throw your coin in the hat, as they say. All right. It's time to do book olds.
Ooh.
Book ancients.
Yeah, that's accurate. That definitely is a good way to call it.
Raylene, what did you pick for us today?
Well, today I decided to go with a book by an author we have mentioned before and we have both read. However, people might not know about this particular book. And that is The Diving Pool by Yoko Ogawa.
Whoa,
and this is a book of three novellas. It came out in 1990. So just to refresh people's memory, this is the same author who wrote The Memory Police, which we read for our book club, I think in 2020, maybe.
Wow.
It's been a little while. So we both read that book and didn't love it. However, I'm still very open to reading more of her books. I am 100% on board. I mean, I read The Housekeeper and The Professor, and that one I liked better than The Memory Police. So she's definitely still in the ring of books that are authors that I'm willing to read. So this book sounds really cool, though, because it's not quite short stories, but it's kind of a similar vibe. So I'll just read the synopsis that's on Goodreads here. A lonely teenage girl falls in love with her foster brother as she watches him leap from a high diving board into a pool, a peculiar infatuation that sends unexpected ripples through her life. A young woman records the daily moods of her pregnant sister in a diary, taking meticulous note of a pregnancy that may or may not be a hallucination. But whose hallucination is it, hers or her sister's? A woman nostalgically visits her old college dormitory on the outskirts of Tokyo, a boarding house run by a mysterious triple amputee with one leg. Hauntingly spare, beautiful and twisted, The Diving Pool is a disquieting and at times darkly humorous collection of novellas about normal people who suddenly discover their own dark possibilities. And this book is 164 pages long, so it's nice and short. Got three novellas, kind of like three long short stories. I think that sounds really cool. That sounds right up my alley, honestly.
It sounds perfect. It sounds really cool. I love that. I don't think you've really pitched a book like that in Bookholds before. Like, really? I think you've done short story collections maybe before, but that's really unique to have three novellas is kind of a...
Cool. I just came across that and was like, that sounds very interesting. And it's properly old. It's older than us, so you can't tell me that it's not a bookold.
Book ancient, like I said.
Yep.
All right. I think it is time for us to move in to book recommendations.
Heck yeah.
We've got some cool ones today. I'm interested in both of these. Let's see how... I don't know if I did very well, but that's...
Me neither.
That's a question for another time. Raylene, read us this first one.
Okay.
What do we got?
Yeah, so this one comes from Jassy. Yassy? Sorry if I'm saying your name wrong. But I love this recommendation. She says, "Hi, girls. I'm looking for a fictional novel you think one of the Greek gods would like. It can be any god. The only rule is that it can't be a Greek mythology retelling. Much love from Toronto."
Toronto!
I love this one. It's so funny. Because it's like, I love ones like this where we kind of have like so many options, which is kind of like, it's fun to have the freedom, but it's also kind of scary.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, but I kind of like immediately chose my Greek god. Who did you pick? Let's just say who we picked first.
I picked Hades.
Ooh, that's fun. I picked Poseidon.
I was gonna pick Poseidon because I was like, I've got the perfect book for that, of Poseidon by Anna Banks. And then I was like, wait, I'm not being creative enough here.
That's not creative enough. And is that not like a mythology kind of book? It sounds like it would be.
I guess that is like a retelling. No, this is really a fun idea. My brother, CJ, who edits the pod, as you all know, he is super into the Greek gods. And actually, for a time, he changed everyone's name in his phone. Well, you know, like people that he regularly texts yeah. to be Greek gods.
Oh, my God.
And oh, I'm trying to remember which one he made me. It was the one, like, apparently there's, like, brothers. There's some brother gods. And so yeah. I was the brother god and he was the other brother god. Or so, like, twins or something like that. But
okay, I was like, what, were you Zeus and Hades?
yeah. No, I forget which, what are they? Like, Apollo and his brother or something?
I can't remember. I always lose track of them. It's been so yeah. long since I've read Percy Jackson. I just don't know.
I forgot about is it Artemis? I think it might be Apollo and Artemis.
Okay.
I forgot about the whole Percy Jackson thing. I was never into Percy Jackson. I completely
That's totally
that
fair.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there are people that didn't read Harry Potter. It scares yeah. me, but they are
out there. They do exist. Some people just went straight to Twilight.
yeah. Okay, so why'd you pick Poseidon and yep. what did you pick for Poseidon?
I just think Poseidon is cool. I yeah. think that, like, the ocean is cool and the fact that he can control all of it is yeah. very cool. Like, awesome. I just think Poseidon is, like, the most boss of them all. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just think he's really cool. I like that kind of stuff. I like ocean stuff. Mm-hmm. I like things like that. Yeah. So he was just the first one that came to my mind. And then I was like, okay, how do you, like, what would you want him to read? And I was like, of course it has to be, like, ocean related. That it just yeah. is where my mind went.
Yes.
And I guess, I don't know if I want to scare him a little, but the book that I'm recommending to Poseidon is Into the Drowning Deep by Mira Grant, which is, like, a horror science fiction fantasy type of book that's quite spooky. So this book is about a bunch of people who are on this boat. Basically, they have, like, an expedition to try and find these creatures that they believe exist and are in Mariana's Trench, like, in the deepest part of the ocean. Okay. Totally. And so they go on this expedition to try and find them. And they get there, and boy, do they ever find them. There are these terrifying, murderous mermaids, which is just, like, a funny thing to think about. But they are really scary. And so, I don't know, I just think that this could be a funny thing to recommend to Poseidon, because I like to imagine that this is a fictional story and these creatures don't actually exist, and Poseidon would just be kind of, like, shook up by the idea that, like, maybe there is something really scary down there. Obviously, he would know about it. Right. But it's like, imagine if there's something that he isn't even privy to. There's these creatures that are outside of his jurisdiction, and that, I don't know. I don't know why I want to scare Poseidon, but that was just the first thing that came to my mind was a scary ocean book for the god of the sea.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. Did you just have the one book?
Yeah, just the
yeah.
one.
Yeah. So I was like, when I thought of Poseidon 2, it was the first god I thought of. I was like, I've yeah. got to pick an ocean book. So I'm actually glad I didn't, because we were both going to do Poseidon 2.
That would have been crazy.
But then I was like, think outside the box. So I typed in on Google. I was like, you know, list of the Greek gods so that I could just, like, read mm-hmm. through them. And Hades was on the list, and I was like, oh, Hades is so cool. Like,
yeah.
I'm obviously mainly thinking of Hades from Hercules. The Hercules movie.
yeah. yeah. He's awesome.
But, like, according to here, it says Hades rules the world of the dead, right? So that's mm-hmm. really interesting. It says a chilly lord of the underworld.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's not like the devil. Do you know what? Like, yeah. that's a really different vibe. Like, hell versus the underworld, those are actually pretty different things. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't, like, evil necessarily. He was just kind of mm-hmm. taking care of these. But he is supposed to be cunning. Like, that was the word that came up here. He's cunning. It says he tricked Persephone into eating enchanted pomegranate yep. seeds so that she would have to remain with him for a portion of the year. Tricky. And then over here, I also, on someone on Reddit, just made a list of all the gods and then, like, put three adjectives for each. I'm like, okay. Wow, what a useful post someone made 3 years ago. But here for Hades, they wrote feared, determined, patient.
Hmm.
Okay, so based on all of those feelings and vibes, I actually picked Animal Farm.
Okay.
Well, because that is a frightening book. Yeah. That is a frightening book about things going wrong, okay? Things going horribly, horribly awry. Mm-hmm. So it's a very in my opinion, it's a very spooky, dark book. It's about, obviously, like, the best of intentions, I would say. At the beginning, you've got these animals who live on a farm, and they hate their farmer who takes care of them because he does a very bad job of taking care of them. And one night, they kind of all just have had enough of it, and they have a revolution against him. So yeah. I'm sort of like, that's like the fiery underworld side of, like, there's like this undercurrent of a bit of violence and revolution mm-hmm. and fear. And then what happens is that it all just goes to hell in a handbasket, okay? Because the pigs are up to no good. And they are, like, become very dictatorship-y, like, communism when it's not actually communism, and it just can't work, and they're like, hi, of course we're all equal. We just also get to eat the apples. And you're like, it's happening! It's all falling apart!
Oh, no.
So I really like that kind of scary cunningness. Mm-hmm. I was like, this fear, this, like, it says determination and patient, like, or determined and patient, like, that's like the feeling I get from the leader pigs who are slowly changing everything.
Absolutely. That's a good pick.
I think Hades would love it. I can imagine Hades reading the book laughing.
Oh, definitely. He's like, oh, this is hilarious. This is perfect. It's just me.
But really, I found a quiz. Okay, I thought this would be funny for us to do live on the air. So it's from the Kids National Geographic.
Amazing.
And it's 8 little questions to figure out what Greek god we are. Okay. So did you get the link I texted you?
Let's begin. All right.
I've hit start. It says, how would you, this is like a proper kids quiz.
I love it.
How would you, your friends describe your personality? Determined, a smarty pants, go with the flow, confident, stubborn, or generous? I'm going to go with smarty pants because I'm always talking about books.
I'm glad you read them all out because I thought there was only 4 options. I didn't see the bottom ones.
Keep scrolling. I was like,
huh?
Which one did you pick?
Ooh, wait, which one did you pick? Smarty pants?
I went with smarty pants.
let me see. Oh, it's like, how would my friends describe me? It's definitely different from maybe how my partner would describe me. Let's see. Let's just go with the flow. That seems
nice.
That seems like that works. What color are your eyes? Blue.
What color are your eyes? Easy. Light brown, green, hazel, blue, dark brown, or gray? Okay, hazel. Which object would you most likely be found with? A video game? The latest gadget? A musical instrument? A book? Swimming/boating gear?
That's weirdly specific.
Or a snack?
I love that it's a picture of flippers for the swimming/boating gear. Like, I would be most likely be found with a pair of flippers, probably. Yeah. Obviously, I have to say book.
Yeah, we have to pick book. That's an easy one. Oh. Which one of these animals is your favorite? A dolphin, an eagle, a wolf, an owl, a pig, or a deer?
It's got to be deer for me. I love deer.
Really? That's interesting.
I was going to say owl until I saw the deer. Like, deer is always my go-to. The deer is
really cute. Yeah. And the pig looks adorable, but I have an animal farm, so I can't pick that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, out of these, I'm going to pick wolf.
Okay. It's
very cool. What is your ideal vacation spot? The mountains, the countryside, the big city. It literally says the big city.
The big city.
The beach, the forest, or an amusement park?
Oh, this one's
That's
tough.
For the party gods.
Yeah. Amusement park.
This is tough.
I'm between the forest, the countryside, and the mountains. I'm like, which one? Ideal vacation.
Vacation.
Vacation. Not just a getaway. A vacation.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with the beach.
Interesting.
Because, like, if it's a it's not like a trip, it's a vacation. So I'm like trying to rest.
Yeah, I think I would go countryside. Like, I can imagine myself holed up in a cabin, like on the English
or like
countryside.
A cottage,
exactly. And just being like, I'm getting away to just get away from the big city life and, like, read lots of books.
Agree
or whatever.
With that.
So that's my choice. I don't like the beach personally, so I would never pick that.
Maybe I'm gonna go with the beach just because it's been so dark, cold, and snowy. I'd love to be on a beach right now.
Yeah.
All right, question number six. What scares you? This one's funny. A sunburn coming in last place, and there's a picture of people running, being too far from the beach.
Poseidon, we get it. We get it.
Not knowing the answer, running out of popcorn, or not being listened to. That's like super deep and psychological.
I know. When I saw that one, I was like, hang on. Am I being seen right now? Like, this is amazing.
I'm going to go with not knowing the answer.
Yeah.
That actually really I'm very, very scared of like seeming dumb. That's like my biggest insecurity. Yeah. So,
I'm going to go with not being listened to.
Everyone is going to comment about how I always cut you off on the podcast. I swear to God.
My biggest fear.
We've had multiple conversations about this, everyone. I just want to address it now. There's two reasons. One, it's a little bit difficult because I have you so quiet on my headphones.
Yeah.
So that the microphone doesn't pick you up. So I can't always tell when you are about to start talking and I start talking.
Yeah.
So that's stressful. But the other thing is, it's just our relationship.
And it's just the way we are, and that's totally cool. And I've interrupted you before as well. Like, that's just the nature of life. Sometimes I don't have anything more to say, you know?
All right, this one, last one is pretty nose on the head, or nail on the head here. Nose on the head.
Yeah, nose on the head, totally.
Choose a symbol. A trident, a bow and arrow, a lightning bolt, a tree, a harp, or wheat?
Wow. This is amazing. I'm going to go with bow and arrow because I think bow and arrow is a very strong symbol and like very cool.
I'm going with trident because...
Oh, there's one more.
I was named after the Little Mermaid and I actually do have a lot of attachment to all of the trident mermaid King Trident stuff.
Yeah.
All right, final one. Which season is your favorite?
Easy.
Spring, fall, summer, winter.
I don't care. Or I like them all.
That's funny.
That's fall. Really funny.
It's clearly
it's obviously fall. What person would say, I don't care about the seasons? Is that possible to not care at all about the seasons? Ooh, I got Zeus.
I got Athena.
Oh, lucky. I don't want to be Zeus. I didn't even pick Lightning Bolt. All right, here's what it says for me. Oh,
yes,
sorry,
please.
Ahead.
No, you read yours. Really for funny. The love of God, Raylene, you read yours.
Okay, so for mine that says, result, you're Zeus. You're a born leader, the king of the gods. Sure, you like to have your voice heard and never budge once your mind is made up. Well, that's true. But you always have people's best interests in mind. You love adventure. Summertime mountain climbing would be awesome. And you indulge your urge to explore whenever you can. No, that is true. But the first part was true.
Oh, man. All right, mine says, you're Athena. You may have been called a smarty pants once or twice in your life. That's because you're Athena, the goddess of wisdom. Thank God. Whoa. To you, there's nothing better than a good book or being able to share a fun fact with family and friends. With so many smarts, you'll be able to accomplish just about anything. Remember, this was written for children.
I love it. Smarty pants. The multiple mentions of the word smarty pants is what really gets me in this quiz.
Smarty pants. I loved it. I'm glad we did that activity together.
That was lots of fun. You should share the link to that in the show notes so that people can also find out which Greek god they are.
I will absolutely do that. I think that's a super cute idea.
It's very important.
Well, now we shall move on to our second recommendation. Raylene, if you could read that off for us.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so this one comes from Allison, who says, hello, friendly neighbors to the north. I'm from Michigan in the States. Love that. I don't know if your climate is similar, but here in West Michigan, not only do we get snow, but it is accompanied with about 5 months of complete darkness. That lack of sunlight inevitably causes seasonal depression in me and also everyone I know. I'm determined to fight it this year. I'm hoping for you guys to recommend me a comforting, wintry, lovely book to ease the blues. I'm thinking either something that will make me feel heard, such as Wintering by Catherine May, or How to Do Nothing, or just something wonderfully happy. Thank you ahead of time for your help. Winter is coming. Oh, she also says, P.S. Love your pod and I hope your hair is peach soon. So... That's a good thing to bring up. I mean, it's in the hands of the people. It's in the hands of the listeners. Once we hit our goal, my hair will turn peach. It's just going to happen.
I've actually been thinking about it because... I just had this whole idea. I was like, do I want to open this can of worms? I will slightly open this can of worms. I have been getting a lot of gray hair.
Ooh.
So I'm 27. So I'm obvious. I'm not like, I'm not saying I'm old. I'm not saying I'm young. Whatever. I'm just 27, which is on the younger side to be getting white hair.
Yeah.
And it's all in one spot on my head. I've talked about this. Raylene knows. Okay. I've talked to Raylene about it. But like, it's all in one spot. So I'm hoping I'm getting like a white streak.
Oh, that'd be so cool. I can really see you with a white streak.
Oh, thank you, man. Like, that would be cool. And I would be happy to lean into that. But it's been so interesting how it's been like a point of anxiety where I'm like, should I dye my hair? Do I start dyeing my roots? Is that like a thing I was supposed to? I don't want to do that. Maybe I don't have to. Obviously, I don't have to do anything. Like, live your dreams.
Just whatever appearance. You're comfortable with.
Yeah, appearance is all up to you. But like, I also look in the mirror and I see the gray hairs and I get like sad. So I'm like, oh, what do I do? What's the thing to do here? So I keep thinking like, well, I could just dye my whole head peach.
Top to bottom. Yeah, that's an option.
Excuse me. Woo! Okay. So, anyways, the other reason I was excited about this recommendation is because when I saw it in our little spreadsheet, when people submit, like when you submit stuff on the website, it goes into a spreadsheet so that we can see them all. When I saw this one, I was like, you know, I want to talk about this one just because I think winter is really hard for a lot of people.
Definitely.
I mean, I don't think it is. We know that for sure. And this winter, maybe more than any winter ever, has really been hitting me hard. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you hear that?
Yeah, what is that?
It's a snowplow.
That's hilarious.
Literally, I'm talking about how intense the winter is and a snowplow goes by. But yeah, like, I think maybe this has been the toughest winter ever for me, just mentally. I have been so affected by the weather. We had these two sunny days, yesterday and the day before, and it literally felt like, I was like, you know what, things are gonna be okay. Like, it was the way that it can make you feel so much better, but when it's dark, and it's gray, and it's gloomy, and it's cold, you don't want to go out, the days are short, and it's just like you look out and it's dreary, it really can affect you. So
yeah, for me it's the darkness that like I really, because like it's so annoying when like you, for me personally, like I go to work, obviously you work from home so it's different, but like I get up in the morning and when I, in the wintertime, I leave for work and it's dark when I leave my house, and then I'm in the office for 8 hours and then it's dark when I leave, like I never get to see the daylight, and that is really not fun. And a few weeks ago there was one day where me and my coworkers all left the office at the same time and it was still light out and I literally just yelled wow. There's sunlight. I was just so happy.
Yeah, but that's like perfect proof of how you notice. It feels so different. It really impacts you. So yeah, the other day it was so funny. Like we had this really sunny day. Me and my mom, we were cleaning, we were laughing, and I was like, "Wow, today feels so great." And I realized the only thing that was different was that it was sunny.
It's amazing. Like, I never thought that it affected me, but it does, even if you don't really notice it or think about it.
Yeah, I think what you're saying about, like, working in an office where, like you said, like, it's, like, dark when you leave and dark when you come back, I think that sounds so brutal. I think for me, the kind of different, it is just different. I don't, you know, it's not worse or better, it's just different, but, like, I never go anywhere, and it's so dark that I'm like, why would I go anywhere? And it's so cold that I'm like, so I become like a hermit in my house.
May as well stay inside.
And like, I just look outside and it's gray, and I'm just like, it's fine. It's fine. I'll just go back to bed. And that is, I think that adds to it. So, so Raylene, let's ward it off. Let's help Allison and everyone else in the north. try and fix this a little bit. What book did you pick that is either, did you go for the summery angle or something that's like wintry and you're like leaning into it?
I was leaning into the wintry aspect.
Okay.
And it's that's a book fine. That I haven't read, but I've been wanting to read for a long time and seems like a perfect wintry book that you can really just bundle up with. And it's kind of magical. Okay. So the book is The Snow Child by Eowyn Ivey. And this book came out in 2012, so it's not new by any means. It's 10 years old now, but it's been kind of crossing my path for a long time, and I keep wanting to read it. It sounds really cool. It takes place in Alaska in 1920, and it's about this couple. I think they're a bit older, and they don't have children. I think maybe they weren't able to, or just didn't happen for them, but they've, I guess, probably always wanted children, and something happens. There's like a first snowfall of the season, and they build a child out of snow, and then when they wake up the next morning, the snow child is gone, but there's a real girl just running around. Like, she turns into a real person. It's kind of like Frosty, but like cuter. And so that's all I know about the story, but like, it just seems like really whimsical and magical and probably kind of sad. So I feel like if you're wanting to kind of lean into the kind of dreary sadness of winter a little bit, but it also has a bit of that kind of happy vibe to it, I think it's probably a good mixture of the two. It seems like it's very fairy tale esque and the magical realism and that kind of stuff. So I feel like that could work. I hope it's not too sad. I don't know, since I haven't read it, so I'm just fingers crossed that that's a good choice.
Have you seen Klaus?
No.
Ugh, Raylene. And now it's too late. You have to wait until next Christmas.
Yeah, I don't really watch Christmas movies, so.
Ugh,
there's that.
Raylene. This know. One's different. I really I'm think this
Hades.
One's different.
I'm not Zeus. I should be Hades.
It's different because it's like and a beautiful animated story, and the Christmas part isn't even really Christmas. Like, okay. It's like, it's one of the best animated movies I've seen in years.
Oh, wow.
It's so, so good. But anyway, there's a little girl in that, and she's, I don't think they ever explicitly say she's like Nordic. You know what I mean? She's so cute. That's what I was imagining when you said the snow child.
Adorable.
I went full summer. I was like, let's lean into the summer vibes, right? And so I picked Amy and Roger's Epic Detour by Morgan Matson.
Yeah.
So as I've mentioned, I'm currently reading a Morgan Matson book on my phone. And I'm reading The Unexpected Everything. And it's just, it's so summery that, like, it's kind of hilarious. I'm like, is summer really exist? Is it this beautiful? Are we all tan and like running around in the sun? It like is inspirational, aspirational even.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it like reminds you that fun is ahead and it is coming and it is gonna thaw. It's all gonna thaw.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really recommend Morgan Matson, and she like really writes these kind of summer books, like, you know, the last summer of high school type book, that whole genre.
Totally.
And I just, my favorite one of her books is Amy and Roger's Epic Detour, which is about a road trip, which again, such a summer activity.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to mention, and I completely forgot, I just thought about it as we were starting this question, I actually sort of started another book, which I regret, but here we are.
You have to tell us now.
I started reading Beach Read by Emily Henry.
Amazing.
Really, really threw her hands up in the air. She threw her hands up in the air. She was amazed. A smile spread across her face. She looked so joyous.
That makes me happy for many reasons, because one, you bought that a while ago. We both bought it like 2 years ago or something. We really wanted to read it. And then I read it. And you haven't read it yet, but you also wanted to read a bunch of romance books over this past summer and didn't.
Exactly.
And that book is so fun. And it's about writers. Like, it's just perfect. Oh, I'm so happy.
So, I think the title is a little misleading.
Yes,
it's
definitely.
It's called Beach Read. And it shows two people laying on towels on a beach. So, you're like, oh, okay, this is like, I thought I was going to read a book about a writer going to Florida or California or Mexico or something. But, like, it takes place on the Great Lakes. I think it's in Michigan. But it's on the Great Lakes, which is totally fine. Like, I'm trying to imagine. If you've been to the Great Lakes, you know that it's basically an ocean. It's a sea. It's like a sea, except that it's fresh water. But, like, they're giant. Here I am talking about friggin' water types. Ariel, goddamn. I'm such an Athena.
Smarty pants alert.
Smarty pants. Do you know the difference between a pond and a lake?
No, I just imagine that ponds are smaller.
Yeah, but this was a thing. Like, I was like trying to, I was like, what's the difference? Like, what makes something a pond and something a lake? And because I agree, I was like, you know, one's just small And I was like, but how small
is what's the measurement?
Like a pond, like what's the point? So I was looking it up, and it definitely is a little bit just colloquial. Like, you know, if everyone starts calling something a lake, it often will just be titled a lake, and it's not a huge deal. But if you want to get a little bit more sciencey, and if I'm literally doing the Athena thing of telling you a stupid fun fact. I'm so sorry, but I've got to forge ahead now. Basically, and I find this fascinating. If the sun, the rays of the sun, the sunlight, can reach the bottom of the body of water, it's a pond. So it can, like, it affects the way that wildlife grows down there.
I never knew that. That is really interesting. What a like, weirdly specific way to measure what it is, though. I love that.
Yeah, but it's interesting because there's, like, different regions have different rules about it and stuff. But, like, that doesn't really affect the size of it. It affects the depth of it.
Yeah.
Ah, well, there you
go. So it could still be a lake if it's small but really deep.
Yeah, maybe. Right? But this is what I'm talking about. Like, apparently it was, like, it's very arbitrary. Like, they don't really care.
Yeah.
A lake or a pond. But beach read is a little misleading because it's not really a sunny beach. It takes place at a lake. But that's fine.
And they spend a lot of time inside. It's mostly about writing. It's about writing. One of the characters is writing a romance book, basically. So yes. I guess, like, maybe it's referencing that. Like, he's writing a beach read? I don't know.
I know, but I find that a little misleading. And then I've heard that her other book, which both of these are super popular, really well-loved and stuff, but her other book, People We Met on Vacation... So I was just watching a video where they talked about how the title is really misleading as well.
Oh, interesting. That's not the author's fault, necessarily.
Well, no, totally not. But it's called People We Meet on Vacation. But then the first line is called Two Best Friends, 10 Summer Trips, One Last Chance to Fall in Love. So they're not going to meet on vacation. They already know each other. That's really funny. Anyways, I'm reading Beach Read. And I'm liking it. And it is summery, right? Yeah. Like, she's, like, out on her porch. She's at a summer house on a lake. Mm-hmm. She's hanging out with this dude. I'm really not far into it. I'm, like, on page 20 or something. So yeah. I really can't say much. But I am liking it. And it's very, very summer. So
that's awesome.
It is a good escape.
Yeah, I guess I wanted to backpack on the summer theme a little bit. Because I did want to mention that the Aristotle and Dante books are, like, 1,000% summer.
Oh,
like, they
yeah.
are very, very strongly summer books. Basically, Aristotle and Dante, the characters, meet at a swimming pool during the summertime. And then once kind of the school year comes around, one of them has to leave. And so it's, like, they don't see each other unless it's summertime. And then, like, the second book, they come back together and it's, like, it's summertime. And they're, like, thinking about leaving for college, but it's like the whole story kind of takes place during the summer. So
just another
recommendation if you want something summery.
Just another manic Monday, you guys. Or should I say Sunday? It's Sunday. All right, it's time to wrap things up. I think we did pretty good on that one. I don't know if we smashed it out of the ballpark, but I think we did pretty good. We're like on second or third base.
Okay.
That's more than enough. That is just more than enough.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to everyone for hanging out with us for this episode. We are about to go and record our Patreon mini podcast. So every week on our Patreon, we release like a 10-minute little podcast bonus alongside the main episode. So if you want to check that out, today we're going to be answering this question from Heidi that says, idea in all caps. I love pencils. Like albatross characters love fountain pens. Mm. So I get a little thrill every time I see a pencil on a book cover. Is there anything you two get joy from seeing on book covers? I love this question. This is one of the best questions we've gotten in a while because it really made me think when we first read it. I was like, yeah, you're right. There's like certain tropes or things that show up on book covers. And I'm like, what am I attracted to? What like pulls me in to books? So we're going to talk about that, which will be really fun. And like we said, that's on our Patreon. Definitely consider checking out the Patreon. I mean, give it a click. There's some cool stuff going on. We actually just watched Howl's Moving Castle with our patrons.
Yeah, that was so fun.
That was really fun. Because we have a movie club going on over there. But yeah, we also have our merch. Our new hats are not in, but I will say, green one by a mile. Forest green one.
It's so happening.
The forest green hat is coming in hot. But yeah, thank you guys so much. Raylene, always thank you for hanging out with me.
My pleasure.
And we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.